Okay, here we go. Let's go. B'chol ha'mailois. No.
Who is he?
No,
they said, I mean, I didn't know myself. He's sometimes just down by us, but he's a big one. No one knew the...
He said he's like he's a Chaim Berliner?
Berliner.
Maybe I know my face. I don't know. Okay, let's see. Ayin Vav, page the Ayin Vav. Here's a real Anav. Yankee Greenbaum is a real Anav. We're talking about Anava.
Schmitz Anava.
Voika Anav.
Yeah.
Voika Anav. Okay. Bechol Hamailois Zohi Hamshubachas, the most beautiful, the most praiseworthy of all the midos, the mid of Anava. What's the raya? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say something nice about Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem had this unlimited milas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have written an encyclopedia on the milas of Moshe Rabbeinu. The one thing he selected to say to Aaron and Miriam about the milas of Moshe Rabbeinu was, he's an onov. That goes to show that this is the Mida HaMishubechas, the most beautiful, the most praiseworthy Mida. Now walk with his head stretched out, his nose up in the air. This is a very fascinating thing. Not to wear a head covering, he says, is gaiva.
Okay, nah.
Not to wear it. We don't think of it like that. We think of wearing that not wearing, the reason why it's something positive. We always are brought with the assumption, if you don't wear a head covering, you're parif, fine, no big deal, you're a good person. You wear a head covering to impress upon you, oh, let me be a Yorei Shamayim. Let me put upon my head something that will remind me to fear Hashem. That's not what he says. He's saying an awesome, awesome chiddush, that Gilui Roish means gaiva. It's not a matter of you're parif without the yarmulke, and you're wearing a yarmulke to bring upon yourself Yira Hashem, which was Pasha of the Gemara. Without a head covering, it's an act of gaiva. Kennedy was the first one to take off the Kisei Rosh. Kennedy! John Kennedy is a shocking thing. He's shocking. $1 trillion industry. He's killed the whole industry. When he died, did not, at his presidential inauguration, did not wear a head covering. What would have been had he wore a head covering at his presidential inauguration? What would be today? Who knows? No one knows. It would have probably happened anyway, right? At some point in time, America would have come to this point in time. What would have been had there not been a President Clinton in such public, engaged in such horrible behavior? Would the world today be a better place? Would the students got caught? So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. He got caught. The world, would the morals of society today be on a higher level? No one knows. Probably to a degree. All of these things, they add up together. They add up together. They cut away at the moral climate of society. The light. What it would have been? One thing would have been. It would have been cheaper. Because there would have been many goyim wearing hats, and then there would be more competition, and it would be cheaper to buy a black hat.
My neighbor bought his kid at Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I wouldn't buy those hats anymore. You can get a hat. You can get now. You have now. There's Baruch Hashem. There's a lot of competition now. You can even get a really good hat for $70. Really good. Really good. Yeah, 70.
Where?
70 online.
Online.
Online, yeah.
Are you allowed to wear one? It's Tomei, it's a behemoth Tomei.
That's a strimo. It's a strimo. You're talking about a strimo.
No, even a hat.
Felt?
It's made out of a beaver.
Felt? What beaver?
Yeah, it's
beaver.
Beaver.
Alright, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go weiter. Vlobi Yili Roshki, Shechina Lamaila Meroisha. Weiter, Rabbi Yisrael. The Shechina, Rabbi Yisrael. Shechina Lamaila Meroisha. Vlchaydi v'yesh Allah, Lechav Shechach, Bershach, Shechach, Bershach, Walk bent. A person when he walks in the street, you should be bent over in order to show that the affair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone that walks with his head stretched out, he is stealing from Hashem and he's pushing away Hashem's feet. This world is the Hadoim Raglov. Hashem is entitled to relax. He wants to stretch out his feet on a footstool. So by walking with Gaiva, Hashem says, I'm not going to put my foot on this footstool. This world is Hashem's footstool. So you're denying Hashem the ability to put his feet down. What?
You don't wear a hat.
Because not wearing a hat is gaiva, he said. That's what he said. It's gaiva. It's a chiddush. We don't look at it like that. Because we live in a different world. You have to put yourself 800 years ago in his society, frame of mind. that by walking around without a hat, it's considered to be brazen.
I'd like to know why
anything.
Both head covering,
hats like we have
head covering.
Men have hats like we have now.
I don't know what they had. I don't know. Everyone a different. Every society had a different type of hat.
Falls in the spot in Kedusha, right? The Rebbe gave. He saw a Talmud walking without a head covering, and he's the elder.
The different types of the Chofetz Chaim, the famous video that's circulating of the Chofetz Chaim. What was he wearing? He's wearing the simplest hat you can possibly imagine. It's for a wagon driver hat.
Right.
Okay, a taxi driver. You have a certain cap. That's what the Chofetz Chaim wore, like a wagon driver. And there's more to the story. If you notice in the story, it doesn't fit him well. That video, that hat that he's wearing does not even fit him. It's too big. And the story was they bought him, there's a whole history about that hat. It was the wrong size. And like, he just didn't care. It didn't even fit him. And yeah, it doesn't make a difference. And he wore the hat. There's also the Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and Besoif Yamov, towards the end of his life, his hat was like grayish, because it faded. It wasn't a gray hat, it was a black hat. That was an old hat that just faded. And then his Talmidim, they said, you have to buy a new hat. And they asked him what kind of hat you want. I think there was a miscommunication between the... Because it seems from the story, if I'm not mistaken, he was very depressed.
Yes,
after his wife died,
yes,
he was very depressed. And they asked him at a moment when he was not at the top of his game. And he said something that was part of his... an expression of depression, of what he was talking about his wife. And the student didn't really understand what he said. And he went to buy him a white hat, or a very light gray hat. So you see, like, the later pictures, he's wearing this funny hat. Like, what? Why is he wearing that hat? There's a whole story behind everything. Everything has a story to it. And what about the Lubavitcher Rebbe? How come he didn't wear a strimel? How could a Rebbe? What? The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he doesn't wear a strimel. His father, the whole dynasty, the first six Rebbes. Hashavi. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was the seventh Rebbe. He was the shlemus of the dynasty. He was the Makabal, the Mashiach's going to come. Hashavi. You don't know all the Torah of the Lubavitcher Torah. There's even a book. Hashavi. You have to listen to Rakefesh. Hashavi, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The six Rebbes, they were strimel. So what happened to the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Why do we remember? So Rakefet says, he says because I who am I to disagree with Rakefet? But I don't, because the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt that in America he could not be matzliach as a Rebbe if he wore a strimel. He would alienate himself from the people that he's trying to connect with. This is theory. He holds Beshita, he did not choose to put on a strimel, not to alienate himself from the Hamoinah. But the pshat, forget about the drush, is because the Rebbetzin, his mother-in-law, the Shviga, Aneya, the Shviga did not give him the strimel. The minig is,
right.
If the Rebbetzin is alive, when the Rebbe dies, this is the minig Yisrael, let me say. Right, Gorari. Gorari, the minig Yisrael is that when a Rebbe dies, if the Rebbetzin is alive, and the success, the Rebbe's son becomes a new Rebbe, the Rebbetzin, she gives the strimel, the ceremony.
Yeah,
she gives over the Rebbe's strimel, it's like passing the baton. The strimel is the baton, the Olympics. You give the baton to the next carrier. The Rebbetzin gives the strimel to the Aiden, you know, by it's a very big thing. By when a person get puts on the strimel for the first time by Chassidim, you go to the Rebbe. You know,
it puts it on you.
You don't put on a strimel yourself when a Chassan gets married. Chassan by before the Chassana, he puts on the strimel. You don't put it on. The Rebbe puts it on. Okay, even now he's the Bubba of a Rebbe when his first grandson. The Bell's a Rebbe. Years ago, I remember watching the video, years ago when his first grandson, he didn't have children for a long time, they were very worried. He had a child, and from the trouble bar mitzvah, and then the chasana, when his first, oh no, it was the grandson, when the first grandson of the Belzer Rebbe got married, this Belzer Rebbe today got married, It's a big, big thing. They made an Eretz Yisrael. They spent millions and millions of dollars celebrating the event. So I remember the video circulating the ceremony of the Belzer Rebbe putting the strimel on the head of his oldest grandson at the before the chasana. It's a big zach. It's a big thing. So by not just the big zach for the Rebbe, but to put the strimel on his chassid, you put a strimel on the chassid. The ultimate ceremony is when the Rebbe's in. Don't say chassidim aren't into women. When the Rebbe's in, gives over, puts the strimel.
The same strimel that
husband wore. It's like passing the baton.
Right.
She gives the strimel of her husband, and then he'll buy a new up-to-date modern, you know, he'll buy a new one then, right? After he puts on the Rebbe's strimel, he goes to the store, and he buys for $5,000 a new strimel, so she'll be up-to-date with the current style. Current style. They have now very big inflation. Inflation. I have a guy, he had a bad influence on me. He told me this guy, there's a certain rebbe in our neighborhood, he got a new strimel, so he says to me, It looks like a tire. It has a tire on his head. So that's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. He ruined me. He's really ruined me. Because after I heard that, I used to go over to some of my Hasidic friends and I said, you know, I saw in the paper, Goodyear is having a sale. And then I went to another of my Hasidic friends and I said, Michelin or Goodyear? It's all I needed to hear, okay? It's dangerous to say, to make a joke to me. To make a joke. But she did not give Rav Menachem Mendel the strimel. You know why? No. Because he wasn't supposed to be the Rebbe. Gur Ari was supposed to be the Rebbe. The oldest son-in-law was supposed to be the Rebbe. Rav Menachem Mendel never cholam zach, never dreamed he would be the Rebbe. It was davar poshut ad me'oid that the successor to the Rebbe was going to be the oldest. The oldest wasn't even a Havamina.
He was working.
Navy Yard, that's right. It wasn't even a Havamina. I never thought. He wasn't even really, the truth is, I don't, maybe you'll tell me I'm crazy for saying this, but from my understanding, he wasn't really a Lubavitcher in the beginning, as a young man. He was a genius. He was loyal to Chabad, but he wasn't Be'etzem, a real Fabrenta Lubavitcher. Yeah, I'm part of, like you know, you go to Yeshiva, you go to Chaim Berliner. Do I consider myself a Chaim Berliner? No. I live and breathe Chaim Berlin. I'm not part of it. So I'm not part of it. He did not. No. You don't know me. You say that, you really don't know me.
You don't carry around the union card saying I'm a
member. I don't believe for a minute from the little bit that I've read about the Lubavitcher Rebbe that Rav Nachum Mendel was real Lubavitch. It's a whole different. Look, he was known to be extremely cutting edge and modern among all the Hasidic Rebbes. They went crazy from things that he did. He did these wild things. He had a tish for women. Okay, he told all Noshim, what?
That was after he was Rebbe.
Yeah. He did all these wild things. All the other Rebbes, they were going crazy from him. They what are you doing to us? You're part of the team. What are you doing these wild things? I believe it all came because he Be'etzem was not really, did not grow up in the mold of Lubavitch. And he never had a Havamina to be the Rebbe. There wasn't even a Havamina. And after the Rebbe died, the sixth Rebbe died, so it was posh. There was part that the Gurari, but the Hasidim, there was a problem. They didn't want to take him for some reason. And then a year passed. It took over a year until a conspiracy developed to persuade him, you're going to be the Rebbe. And initially he refused. He was doiche b'shtei yodayim. And it took over a year until gradually he accepted. But the mother-in-law never wanted it. And she never, and the sister-in-law, there was always issues, and she never gave him the strimel. And that's why he never wore a strimel. That's the pshat. Rabbi Rakevitz says, so already after a couple of years, he should have eventually put on his shtreimel. No, he decided not, because he would alienate himself from America. He viewed himself to be able to accomplish.
The style of the hat, the Lubavitch hat, they have the
hood. That's the rain. That's because it rains outside.
The
pinches.
The pinches. You could always see a Lubavitch hat.
They copy the Rebbe. Right, there's no such thing as a Lubavitcher hat because the Rebbe.
No, but you see, they basically see
they're copying the pinches because the Rebbe happened to have a hat.
Because
the Rebbe's hat was smushed. The Rebbe's hat was smushed. No. There's only one Stetson Borsellino style. The Rebbe's hat was smushed. So the Hasidim and the Rebbe wore a gartel. There's no way you wear a gartel. It has to go all the way down the way they wear the gartel. Come on. This is the way the Rebbe. This is just what he looked like. So everyone copies him. It became this style. So now you can sniff out a Lubavitcher a mile away. And the way the beard is.
I remember
you can always sniff them. There
was a non-frum hat store.
And dirty shoes.
You see?
I remember that.
He walked in, he bought a hat like anyone else.
He bought a hat, and then years later, in the 60s, the guy was going to move out of the neighborhood because he wasn't getting business, and the Rebbe said, please stay here, I'll make sure you have business. And this was the exclusive place to buy your hat.
Hats often.
And it was called Mike's Hatters. I remember. And he changed, he had a style that changed a little bit because it's probably...
The Rebbe! They copied the Rebbe.
No, they stopped what he had.
Changed it. They copied the Rebbe, no pashen.
Yeah, but everyone did.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Monday was the yahrzeit.
Gerari.
Of Rashad.
Okay, he's buried. The Gerari is buried right next to the Rebbe. If you go go to 770. Mamish, right outside. Right there, right outside is Gerari. This is his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law was a tzaddik. He went and he was mekabel him. Unbelievable. He could have been the Rebbe. Can you imagine? And he was Makab was kof of to him. He humbled himself before the Rebbe, even though he could have. It's an incredible thing. It's unbelievable. I think he won. It doesn't sound like he didn't want. The Hasidim didn't want. Whatever. I don't know. It's very obviously these are all big mysteries. But this is the story why the Lubavitcher Rebbe does not wear the shtreimel, because the mother-in-law never gave it to him. Vizehu. Vizehu, that's the way. The Shliga controls the world. Okay? She did not give him the shtreimel. And here it says, by not wearing, I thought, so here, all these examples, look at all these stories of hats. It's amazing. Amazing about all how the world revolves around the type of hat that you wear. The best thing about a hat is Rabbi Eliezer Silva. Rabbi Eliezer Silva was invited, he wore a top hat. And what did he do with this top hat? He was invited to the White House to a ceremony, some very important event. Rabbi Eliezer Silva, he comes to the White House, and all the chashuvim, the congressmen, and v'chulu, were all there, and he's there. He was a kodesh elyon, Rabbi Eliezer Silva. No one even begins to be masik the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer Silva, how great he was. And he was there in the White House with some major event in Washington, and there was a woman that comes over to him and says, Rabbi Silver, I heard all about you. And she puts out her hand to shake his hand. And all the cameras are clicking. And everyone is watching. So what is the Gadol Hadar going to do when a woman puts out her hand to shake his hand? Now, if it was me, I would shake her hand.
Right.
Big deal. Who cares? Who's watching anyway? Who cares? But he's the Gadol Hadar. He was the Gadol Hadar.
But if he did shake the hand, it would be an embarrassment.
So what do you do? If he would shake her hand, it would be a problem because he's not just stam a guy. Even though Mikir Hadin, Minanim with his mutter, you'll find a million heterim, it's mutter. Million heterim. Okay? It's mutter, it's not chiba, it's minanimus. But he's the Gadol Hadar. And the cameras are clicking. It's not going to go off well in Klal Yisrael when the Gadol Hadar who knows Kol HaTorah Kul and represents Klal Yisrael shaking the hand of a woman. That doesn't work well. That's the way it is. On the other end, Natu is a Chil Hashem to insult her. What are you gonna? What would you do if you were the Gadol Hadar?
Hugger.
Hugger.
Hugger. That was Avraham's wife.
Okay. What would you do? What would you do if you were the Garl Hadar and you're in a dilemma? Oh, so what did he say? So he said to her, you heard the story? He said to her, it was brilliant, he said to her on the spot, are you a Republican or a Democrat? He said to her, Republican. So she said, whatever, it doesn't make a difference what she said, right? Doesn't make a difference. She said, I'm a Democrat. So he goes, Democrat! I never, ever would shake the hand of a Democrat. But to a woman of your grace and beauty, I tip my hat. That's the story. It's a true story.
I had one incident with Kane when I first started. I was going to shake the hand of a congressman. You know, they had a meet and greet at the beginning. But she said to me, just before she stuck out her hand, she said, I want to, you know, like to shake your hand. The rabbi before you didn't do it, didn't do me. And I said, that's the beauty of the Torah. The laws never change.
Ooh.
That's what
I said to
her. You said that?
I said it to her, but she put it to me that the rabbi, I would have shaken her hand, but she said the rabbi before you didn't want to. So then I felt like I was being put on the spot. Now it looks bad if I do.
Right. Very good. Very good. That's impressive. She's good. Very good. I could never do that. I would melt away in a second. See, I don't have any backbone. I have no backbone for this type of stuff. I've shaken women's hands many times. Okay? Doctors. I met with doctors, my parents. Oh, my parents are doctors, and they shake their hand. I met other people. I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm not like a rabbi representing anyone. But if I was representing a tzibur, I wouldn't know what I would do, because by nature I'm a marshmallow. It's not so simple.
If you're consistent, it's easy to do.
Okay.
Us who are not consistent.
Yeah, you got to be consistent. And also, today's a different society. It's easier and it's harder. Yesh v'yesh.
But today you can do anything. They walk around with their tattoos.
It's yesh v'yesh. Yes and no. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, can I please have your attention? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's now. We've had some fun, and now we have to get back into some serious business. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we've had some fun. Let's go weiter. So now we have a different person. Be very careful. Okay, we're in the middle of the line, the beginning with v'lo yelech. Okay, the paragraph on the bottom page. I involve b'chol hamaylos. We're in the middle of the paragraph, but b'chol hamaylos in the middle, the beginning of the line. V'lo yelech beinayim ramos v'nei moira hashchina. Do not walk with your eyes up in the air, because the moira of the shchina shahi noichach panav is in front of your face. V'kal v'kach mashal mishemei melech basar v'adam. Take an example from the guards. Buckingham Palace. Look at the one of his waiters. He does not lift his eyes because of the fear of the king. These people, they don't twitch. Go on YouTube in the afternoon and go type in the guards' jokes. People who go Buckingham Palace, people try to make them laugh. Or the changing of the guards in Washington, D.C. by the unknown soldier. And go look at some of these hilarious videos of people trying to make these people laugh. What? It's a lot of Chil Hashem goes on. These Pirchei trips, where they go to the unknown soldier's grave, the changing of the guards, and all these wise guys, yeshiva guys, who try to imitate them. Hilarious things people do, and they don't twitch. And now they don't twitch, they get angry. And then they go and everyone gets scared, they start talking. These guys, they actually talk, you know? They actually talk if you get them angry. So we stand for the Shechina. We should not lift up our eyes. Now he says something which we don't do today. Going back in ancient times, when you walk in the street, you look down. Someone used to always tell me, look for rubber bands. When you're walking in the street, you're looking for rubber bands. What? Rubber bands. You're looking for things in the street. You don't. What?
Tyson says, "Ain't darker shalom."
It's not the death look on the roads? I don't know. Okay, obviously, society has changed. If you look for rubber bands, you're going to bump into someone, even worse. Got to look where you're going. The worst thing to do is don't walk and text at the same time. That's the worst of the worst. You'll bump into someone, and it's dangerous. You know, people have died because of this texting and being distracted on the street. It's horrible. Okay, so horrible.
The
Anova, right? Let's go further. The Anova Meisenes Chain. Anova, humility brings upon a person grace. Umoira Bahashtel Adam Eina Vikoimasai. And it brings chain, umoira. It also brings fear. What does it mean, fear? It means you fear, you come to fear Hashem. Behashpel Adam Eina Vikoimasai. When a person lowers his eyes and his stature. He's repeating himself. Always remember Hashem. Okay, this is the pasuk we put. We discussed once. What are the two popular pasuk we put on the Amud? Da lifnei mi ato oimed. What's the other pasuk? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tam. We once spent the whole shiur on the difference. He just saying general that when a person walks, always think about that Hashem is in front of you, and therefore humble yourself. Hashem is here. Hashem is here. Hashem is truly everywhere. Why do you wear yarmulke? It's an expression of fear. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. Right. The Moira Hashchina, exactly. The name Moira Hashchina. What did
I
say?
I don't know if I said it yesterday, but from this week's Sedra, why you need the Ner Tumbit, he said, because even though Aaron the Al Yavol B'chol Yisrael HaKodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to be Nichnas V'yosei whenever he felt like it, and since the Ner is supposed to be there so you know where you're standing, that's why it has to be a Ner Tumbit. It has to be the 24 hours.
To remind you, Hashem is always there. Okay, let's go further. Halacha Nun Dalet. Ezo Yuechitza Shein Mikeres Leinayim. What does it mean in Ritzicha? In Ritzicha, murder. Now we discuss when a person goes Rachmanos and he kills a person, that's not noticeable. You go and you kill a person and you'll get away with it. You can get away with murder. V'oinish gadol ma'oid v'aver kala, and in the eyes of man, it's considered to be a very small sin. V'chamudhi l'mala, there's a type of murder which you can get away with. It's not nikolei nayim. In your person's mind, in society, yes. Wait.
We're talking about real murder?
Yes, he's going to explain. He's going to explain. Yimavaz is on Barabim. Yimavayish. He's going to explain. I want to give you an example now. Murder. A person can commit murder, and you'll get away with it. No one will say. No one's going to even notice you did it. And in your mind, it's nothing. But you should know, in Shemayim, you've done the worst thing possible. What is this? Ezohi ritzicha she'ena nikeres lo'einayim, you can get away with. V'ho oinesh gadol me'oid. It's a very severe punishment. V'ho avera kala, in the eyes of man, it's considered to be insignificant. But v'chamurihi l'mala, the answer is, hi habusha, putting a person to shame. Putting a person to shame. Hamavayesh Pnei Chaveroi Beram Yimavazes, someone you embarrass on him publicly, Oy Mitzaroi Bifnei Misha Mispayesh, in the presence of another individual whom they are embarrassed of. Umitzta'er, and he has pain. When he's called out in public, he has tsar, this is a terrible avera. She'ilu Hoya Horgo, if you would actually kill him physically, Hoya Mikabel Misa, Kidei Shaloyia Misbayesh. He says such a shocking thing that there are times when a person would rather die than suffer this humiliation. He would rather suffer death than suffer this humiliation. And this today is very, very common with internet bullying, where people, they post online about people terrible things, lashon hara, for no reason whatsoever, and you mamish. People are so humiliated, they commit suicide. You see it's true, because they commit suicide. When they see what goes viral about them, what people are posting online about their darkest secrets, whether they're true or not true, they can't live with it. What? That's not mental illness. That's real. That's not mental illness. There are people...
Embarrassment.
And the embarrassment is so great, they actually kill themselves. They commit suicide. It's ma'aseh b'chol yom. Okay, ma'isim b'chol yom. So, and it, let's say they don't kill themselves. They get lucky, they don't kill themselves. But look what you've done to them. And for what? How many stories do you know of people that people have been posted online, information, that's no one's business? And even if I would search for it, this is the Chafetz Chaim, I will search for it. If I really want to find out this, I could find it. But the facts are, I would never know about it unless you told me, because I'm not interested in going and searching for this information. I really care. I care to go Google every single guy that I know. Every guy on the planet I know, I'm going to sit the whole afternoon and type in their name and see what garbage I can find about them. I have better things to do with my time. But this website I go to every single day, it's a place where everyone goes to. So here, oh, you're going to make everyone should know that this guy, let me show you his dirty laundry. This is Ritzicha. Ritzicha. And it's Mais and B'chol Yoim.
What about the person who sends out information and it's information that was published already in the newspaper?
It's Rabbi Chofetz Chaim says it's Ritzicha. It's Osir, Osir, Osir. Even though... Kol Milsa, we discussed this, so you Kol Milsa. Kol Milsa, you're referring to the Sugya. Kol Milsa, the Miss Amra. Kol Milsa, the Miss Amra, Biape Tlosa, Lesbe Mishum Lishna Bisha. You're referring to that, which the Olam says anything that's public knowledge, there's no prohibition of Lashon Hara. Baloney, baloney. We send the whole shir on this. You know what that means? There are many interpretations, but one thing, if it certainly does not mean, it means don't take it literally. Just because if I'll spend 5 hours Googling something or pay a private investigator to find out, I'll find it out. So that means that it's public information, because if I could find it, I could find it out. So now I have permission to broadcast this to the entire world.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it in the headlines of the newspaper.
Yeah, but you have the same thing.
I'm talking about headlines in the newspaper.
What?
Put out a fake news.
No. If it's headlines in the newspaper, that usually is permitted. Okay, that's a lesser. If it's on the front page of the newspaper, a certain piece of information.
Any article in the newspaper.
No, it's not so. That's not so. The average person does not read the entire newspaper from cover to cover. Just because it's in the daily news. Okay, let's say there's schmutz about a person, a front person in the daily, in the Post. Very common shiloh. You have in the Post or the daily news, these two papers, they have a whole write-up about a guy who's a ganef. He committed a guy, he's a mezaneh, he's a ganef. A guy in the community, he wears a black hat, he goes to Daf Yomi. And
No, listen.
And it's in the daily news. The daily news, listen, it's on the stands. It's not on the cover of daily news. It's there in the daily news. And now the guy in your shul, he's a guy in your shul. He sits next to you in shul every single day. And they wrote him up that he was mezaneh with someone. He was mezaneh with some mamash, he was mezaneh. Did he abuse anyone? Is he a danger to society? L'chaira not. Not a danger. He's not molesting children. He's not molesting children, right? Is he stealing from anyone? No. He's not stealing from you. He's not a danger. He's not a child molester. He's not stealing from anyone. He's basically to... Basically to the community that he lives in, he's basically harmless. Basically, right? No different than anyone else. He did some terrible things. And in the daily news on page 63, on the bottom, you'll find just gewaltig gossip. And it's on the stands, right? Guess what? I don't know about it. I don't read daily news. I don't buy it. So now, you're going to say, because the daily news and on the newsstands, I can now go, I have permission to... You know what's in the daily news today? You want me to send you a link, what I saw about this guy in the daily news? Let me go send you a link today when WhatsApp, a link to the article. Are you allowed to do that? This is Ritzicha. Ritzicha! Because once I see that about the guy, I will never, ever, for the rest of my life, think about him the same thing that I thought about him. And if you would not send me this link, there's a very strong possibility I will never know about this. My whole life will go by. I will never know that this guy was mezaneh with 10 zoynos. I will never know about it. I will never find out about it. So by you telling it to me, you are revealing to me information that I would never know. This, what are you going to tell me? It's mutter. She says in the Gemara, Ferish Gemara, you don't know how to learn the Daf Gemara. Kol Milsa, Dimisamra, Biape Telasa, Les Be Mishum, Lishna Bisha. Anything that was said in the presence of three people, no longer is there a prohibition of Lashon Hara. So it's in the daily news. The daily news is a lot more than three people, so therefore it's mutter. So we was a whole shiur on this. That's not what the Gemara means. There are like five, we learned five interpretations.
Well, Lashon Hara, even if it's true, you're not supposed to.
Lashon Hara is only true. It's only true. But usually, the classic case of Lashon Hara is information that you would never, that is information that's not known to anyone in the world. That's the classic definition of Lashon Hara. I have information inside and no one knows. Inside information, and it's 100% true, and I, for the sake of gossip, want to tell it to you. That's the classic Lashon Hara. When you have public in knowledge, public news, there's information. It's in the daily news. It's there. So people know about it. Enough people know about it. You don't happen to know about it. I want to fill you in on what's going on. Now, let's make an assessment. If I will not tell you this information, will you ever find out about it? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. 50-50. Maybe there's a 30% chance that you won't. Even that's enough. It is categorically forbidden to reveal information to a person that they would likely or even possibly not know about, even if the information is public knowledge.
How would you explain that to somebody who says, I can do it, I'm allowed to do it, I'm going to do it?
You can't. They can't. They don't care. They could not care less. This prohibition does not exist in their mind. It does not exist. They don't care. You're talking to a wall. You're talking to a wall. No, there's nothing you can do. These people, there's nothing you can do to convince them. You're talking to a wall. They're in the business of selling papers. Okay, the Jewish week is full of this stuff. The whole Jewish week. Gary Rosenblatt. That's how he makes a living, by doing this. No ands, if, and buts. What? About abuse, harassment. So I know first in a case of abuse and harassment, and it was a very serious case, and he went and he asked a shayla, because you know he's an Orthodox Jew, and they told him, yes, it is absolutely necessary that the world knows about this predator. You must do it, but only write one or two articles, and that will, the community will know. So that was, the rabbis told him, write one or two, maybe even three articles. To write 20 articles?
Yeah, but even on the
20 articles? It was an outright violation. Outright violation, and with all of the, you know, the Chagadya, the Shach Matarya.
Yeah?
So
if that's the case, if my friend read that article, can he tell me? I didn't read it.
If there is a toeles,
yes.
Yes. If the person is an abuser, he's in shidduchim, he's a divorced. Why did he get divorced? Well, he almost killed his first wife. He beat her up. So I don't think it's a good idea that you should want to marry. Yeah, if there's a toeles, you have many times stories. People, they do averos. They do terrible, terrible averos. Terrible averos. The worst of the worst. But the averos are in the category where, as far as I'm concerned, as far as you're concerned, the guy is harmless. The guy was mizana with a zayna. Good for him. Who cares? Is he going to abuse my child? Is he going to rob me at gunpoint? No, he's not. So what do you need to know this for? What's your business?
If a ganav,
maybe he's there. A ganav is a ganav. You have to always make that assessment. Okay, I know firsthand. I could not believe this firsthand of a fellow who taka. This taka was mizana, and he's part of a certain industry. Okay, and there's certain websites that the whole industry is only focused on. I'll give you my computers. He's a big guy in tech. And the whole website is all about tech. And it's also it's a frum site to a certain degree, not 100%. So the guy went and he was mizana, one of the big tech guys was mizana. Okay, he was mizmamish mizana. So they wrote him up on the tech website. They mamash the guy who wrote all the averus that he did. So the people there commented, there was some sugar. What does this have to do with the website? Just because he's a big icon in tech, this website is devoted to tech, not to znus. Just because the guy is one of the famous people, and it was interesting. There was many comments, like even though normally comments on a cesspool of society, it's not just a cess. But the people there, I guess, because they also do the love errors, they know they're next. So they write, "My inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. What are you doing here? No purpose in doing this." And they're absolutely right. So the guy did an aver. This is not what we do over here in business. We talk tech. We're not talking znus. You don't follow this shul. Okay, stop here. Take a short break.
The person who does